used to be weltering then in the heat. My shift drenched with the sweat stuck in the cheeks of my bottom on the chair when I stood up. They were so fattish and firm when I got up on the sofa cushions to see with my clothes up. And the bugs, tons of them at night, and the mosquito nets.
I couldn't read a line.
Lord, how long ago it seems. Centuries.
Of course, they never came back. And she didn't put her address right on it either. She may have noticed her wogger. People were always going away, and we never...
I remember that day, with the waves and the boats, with their high heads rocking.
And the smell of ship.
Those officers' uniforms on shore leave.
Made me seasick.
He didn't say anything.
He was very serious.
I had the high button boots on, and my skirt was blowing. She kissed me 6 or 7 times.
Didn't I cry?
Yes, I believe I did. Or near it. My lips were tatering when I said goodbye. She had a gorgeous wrap of some special kind of blue colour on her for the voyage, made very peculiarly to one side, like, and it was extremely pretty.
It got as dull as the devil after they went. I was almost planning to run away mad out of it somewhere.
We're never easy where we are. Father or aunt or marriage waiting. Always waiting to guide him to me. Waiting.
Their damn guns bursting and booming all over the shop, especially the Queen's birthday, and throwing everything down in all directions. If you didn't open the windows when General Ulysses Grant, whoever he was or did, supposed to be some great fella, landed off the ship.
And old Sprague, the council that was there from before the flood. Dressed up, poor man, and he in mourning for the sun.
Then the same old bugles for Reveille in the morning, and drums rolling.
And the unfortunate poor devils of soldiers, walking about with mess tins, smelling the place more than the old long-bearded Jews in their jellabies and Levites' assembly.
And sound clear! And gunfire for the men to cross the lines.
And the warden marching with his keys to lock the gates.
And the bagpipes.
And only Captain Groves and Father. Talking about Rourke's Drift.
And Plevna.
And Sir Garnet Wolseley.
And Gordon at Khartoum.
Lighting their pipes for them every time they went out.
Drunken old devil with his grog on the windowsill.
Catch him leaving any of it.
Picking his nose.
Trying to think of some other dirty story to tell up in a corner.
But he never forgot himself when I was there. Sending me out of the room on some blind excuse. Paying his compliments.
The Bushmills whiskey talking, of course.
But he'd do the same to the next woman that came along.
I suppose he died of galloping drink ages ago. The days like years. Not a letter from a living soul.
Except the odd few I posted to myself with bits of paper in them.
So bored sometimes. I could fight with my nails.
Listening to that old Arab with the one eye and his hiyas of an instrument sing his
hiya, hiya, a hiya.
All my compliments on your hotchapotch of your hiya.
As bad as now with the hands hanging off me looking out of the window.
If there was a nice fella even in the opposite house.
That medical in Hollis Street, the nurse was after. When I put on my gloves and hat at the window to show I was going out, not a notion what I meant.
Aren't they thick? Never understand what you say, even. You'd want to print it up on a big poster for them. Not even if you shake hands twice with the left.
He didn't recognize me either. When I half frowned at him outside Westland Row Chapel.
Where does their great intelligence come in, I'd like to know?
Grey matter.
They have it all in their tail, if you ask me.
Those country gougers up in the City Arms.
Intelligence.
They had a damn sight less than the bulls and cows they were selling.
The mere
meat and the Coleman's bell.
That noisy bugger trying to swindle me with the wrong bill he took out of his hat.
What a pair of paws.
And pots and pans and kettles to mend.
Any broken bottles for a poor man today?
And no visitors or post ever.
Except his checks or some advertisement.
Like that wonder worker they sent him addressed Dear Madam. Only his letter and the card from Millie this morning.
See, she wrote a letter to him.
Who did I get the last letter from?
Oh, Mrs. Dwen.
Now, what possessed her to write from Canada after so many years to know the recipe I had for pisto madrileno?
Flowy Dillon.
Since she wrote to say she was married to a very rich architect, if I'm to believe all I hear, with a villa and 8 rooms.
Her father was an awfully nice man. He was near 70. Always good humoured.
Well, now, Mrs. Tweedy or Miss Gillespie, there's the piano.
That was a solid silver coffee service he had, too, on the mahogany sideboard. Then dying so far away.
I hate people that always have their poor story to tell. Everybody has their own troubles.
That poor Nancy Blake died a month ago of acute pneumonia.
Well, I didn't know her so well as all that. She was Flowey's friend more than mine.
Poor Nancy. It's a bother having to answer. He always tells me the wrong things and no stops. To say, like, making a speech. Your sad bereavement. Sympathy. I always make that mistake. And new few, with 2 double U's in.
I hope he'll write me a longer letter the next time. If it's a thing he really likes me. Oh, thanks be to the great God I got somebody to give me what I badly wanted. To put some heart up into me. You've no chances at all in this place like you used long ago.
I wish somebody would write me a love letter. His wasn't much. And I told him he could write what he liked. Yours ever, Hugh Boylan.
In old Madrid, stuff silly women believe.
Love is dying, I am dying.
If he wrote it, I suppose there'd be some truth in it.
True or no, it fills up your whole day in life. Always something to think about every moment and see it all round you like a new world.
I could write the answer in bed to let him imagine me. Short, just a few words.
Not those long cross letters. Addie Dillon used to write to the fella that was something in the 4 courts that jilted her after. Out of the lady's letter writer. When I told her to say a few simple words he could twist how he liked. Not acting with precipitancy.
With equal candour.
The greatest earthly happiness.
Answer to a gentleman's proposal affirmatively.
My goodness, there's nothing else.
It's all very fine for them. But as for being a woman, as soon as you're old, they might as well throw you out in the bottom of the ash pit.
Mulvey's was the first when I was in bed that morning. And Mrs. Rubio brought it in with the coffee.
She stood there, standing, when I asked her to hand me, and I pointing at them, I couldn't think of the word. A hairpin to open it with. Horquilla.
Disobliging old thing in it, staring her in the face, with her switch of false hair on her, and vain about her appearance. Ugly as she was near 80 or 100, her face a mass of wrinkles. With all her religion domineering, because she could never get over the Atlantic fleet coming in, half the ships of the world.
And the Union Jack flying.
With all her carabineros, because 4 drunken English sailors took all the rock from them.
And because I didn't run into mass often enough in Santa Maria to please her, with her shawl up on her, except when there was a marriage on, with all her miracles of the saints, and her black blessed virgin with the silver dress, and the sun dancing 3 times on Easter Sunday morning, and when the priest was going by with the bell, bringing the Vatican to the dying, blessing himself for his majesty.
An admirer, he signed it.
I near jumped out of my skin.
I wanted to pick him up when I saw him following me along the Calle Real in the shop window. Then he tipped me just in passing.
But I never thought he'd write making an appointment.
I had it inside my petticoat bodice all day, reading it up in every hole or corner, while Father was up at the drill instructing, to find out by the handwriting or the language of stamps, singing.
I remember, shall I wear a white rose? And I wanted to put on the old stupid clock to near the time.
He was the first man kissed me.
Under the Moorish wall, my sweetheart when a boy. It never entered my head what kissing meant, till he put his tongue in my mouth.
His mouth was sweet like, young. I put my knee up to him a few times to learn the way. What did I tell him I was engaged for?
For fun.
To the son of a Spanish nobleman named Don Miguel de la Flora. And he believed me that I was to be married to him in 3 years' time.
There's many a true word spoken in jest.
There is a flower that bloometh.
A few things I told him true about myself, just for him to be imagining.
The Spanish girls he didn't like.
I suppose one of them wouldn't have him.
I got him excited. He crushed all the flowers on my bosom he brought me.
He couldn't count the pesetas and the perigordas till I taught him.
Capoquin he came from, he said, on the black water. But it was too short.
Then the day before he left.
May.
Yes.
It was May when the infant king of Spain was born.
I'm always like that in the spring. I like a new fella every year.
Up on the tip-top, under the rock gun near O'Hara's tower, I told him it was struck by lightning, and all about the old Barbary apes they sent to clap him without a tail, careering all over the show on each other's back, Mrs. Rubio said.
She was a regular old rock scorpion, robbing the chickens out of Inca's farm.
And throw stones at you. If you went near,
he was looking at me.
I had that white blouse on, open in the front to encourage him as much as I could, without too openly.
They were just beginning to be plump.
I said I was tired. We lay over the fir tree cove, a wild place.
I suppose it must be the highest rock in existence.
The galleries and casemates and those frightful rocks.
And St. Michael's Cave.
With the icicles, or whatever they call them, hanging down.
And ladders.
All the mud blotching my boots.
I'm sure that's the way down the monkeys go under the sea to Africa when they die.
The ships out far, like chips.
That was the Malta boat passing.
Yes, the sea and the sky. You could do whatever you liked.
Lie there forever.
He caressed them. Outside.
They love doing that. It's the roundness there.
I was leaning over him with my white rice straw hat to take the newness out of it. To the left side of my face the best. My blouse open for his last day.
Transparent kind of shirt he has. I could see his chest pink.
He wanted to touch mine with his for a moment. But I wouldn't let him.
He was awfully put out.
First for fear, you never know, consumption. Or leave me with a child, and Barathala.
That old servant, Inez, told me that one drop even, if it got into you at all, after I tried with the banana. But I was afraid it might break and get lost up in me somewhere. Because they once took something down out of a woman that was up there for years, covered with lime salts.
They're all mad to get in there where they come out of. You'd think they could never go far enough up.
And then they're done with you in a way to the next time.
Yes, because there's a wonderful feeling there. So tender all the time.
How did we finish it off?
Yes, oh yes. I pulled him off into my handkerchief, pretending not to be excited, but I opened my legs.
I wouldn't let him touch me inside my petticoat, because I had a skirt opening up the side.
I tormented the life out of him, first tickling him.
I loved rousing that dog in the hotel.
Walk. His eyes shut and a bird flying below us.
He was shy all the same.
I liked him like that, moaning. I made him blush a little when I got over him that way. When I unbuttoned him and took his out and drew back the skin.
It had a kind of eye in it. They're all buttons, men, down the middle on the wrong side of them.
Molly darling, he called me. What was his name?
Jack.
Joe. Harry Mulvey, was it?
Yes.
I think.
A lieutenant.
He was rather fair.
He had a laughing kind of voice.
So I went round to the... What you call it?
Everything was what you call it.
Mustache, Hetty.
He said he'd come back.
Lord, it's just like yesterday to me.
And if I was married, he'd do it to me.
And I promised him.
Yes, faithfully. I'd let him block me now.
Lion.
Perhaps he's dead. Or killed. Or a captain. Or admiral. It's nearly 20 years.
If I said Fir Tree Cove, he would. If he came up behind me and put his hands over my eyes to guess who, I might recognize him.
He's young still, about 40 perhaps.
He's married some girl on the Black Water and is quite changed.
They all do. They haven't half the character a woman has.
She little knows what I did with her beloved husband before he ever dreamt of her. In broad daylight, too. In the sight of the whole world, you might say.
They could have put an article about it in the Chronicle.
I was a bit wild after. When I blew out the old bag the biscuits were in from Benedy Brothers and exploded it.
Lord, what a bang! All the woodcocks and pigeons screaming.
Coming back the same way that we went.
Over Middle Hill Round by the old guardhouse.
And the Jews' burial place.
Pretending to read out the Hebrew on them.
I wanted to fire his pistol.
He said he hadn't one.
He didn't know what to make of me. With his pea cap on, that he always wore crooked, as often as I settled it straight.
H.M.S. Calypso.
Swinging my hat.
That old bishop that spoke off the altar, his long preach about woman's higher functions, about girls now riding the bicycle and wearing peak caps, and the new woman bloomers.
God, send him sense and me more money.
I suppose they're called after him.
I never thought that would be my name.
Bloom. When I used to write it in print to see how it looked on a visiting card or practicing for the butcher. And oblige, M. Bloom.
You're looking blooming,
Josie used to say after I married him.
Well, it's better than Breen.
Or Briggs does Brig. Or those awful names with bottom in them.
Mrs. Ram's bottom. Or some other kind of a bottom.
Mulvey, I wouldn't go mad about either.
Or suppose I divorced him. Mrs. Boylan.
My mother, whoever she was, might have given me a nicer name, the Lord knows, after the lovely one she had. Lunita Laredo.
The fun we had running along Willis's Road to Europa Point, twisting in and out all round the other side of Jersey.
They were shaking and dancing about in my blouse, like Millie's little ones now when she runs up the stairs.
I love looking down at them.
I was jumping up at the pepper trees and the white poplars, pulling the leaves off and throwing them at him.
He went to India.
He was to write.
The voyages those men have to make to the ends of the world and back. It's the least they might get. A squeeze or two at a woman while they can. Going out to be drowned or blown up somewhere.
I went up Windmill Hill to the flats that Sunday morning with Captain Rubio's that was dead.
Spyglass, like the sentry had.
He said he'd have one or two from on board.
I wore that frock from the Bay Marché Paris and the coral necklace.
The straits shining. I could see over to Morocco almost. The Bay of Tangier white and the Atlas Mountain with snow on it and the straits like a river so clear.
Hurry,
Molly darling. I was thinking of him on the sea all the time after, at Mass, when my petticoat began to slip down at the elevation. Weeks and weeks I kept the handkerchief under my pillow for the smell of him.
There was no decent perfume to be got in that Gibraltar, only that cheap Peau d'Aspagne that faded and left a stink on you more than anything else.
I wanted to give him a memento. He gave me that clumsy clatter ring for luck that I gave Gardner going to South Africa, where those Boers killed him with their war and fever.
But they were well beaten all the same, as if it brought its bad luck with it, like an opal or pearl.
Still, it must have been pure 16-carat gold, because it was very heavy.
But what could you get in a place like that?
The sand frog shower from Africa,
and that derelict ship that came up to the harbour, Marie the Marie.
What you call it? No, he hadn't a moustache. That was Gardner.
Yes.
I can see his face clean shaven. Free.
That train again. Weeping toe close my eyes.
Breath. My lips forward. Kiss. Recall. Sad look. Eyes open. Piano.
The world is.
I hate that book.
Comes love, sweet song.
I'll let that out full when I get in front of the footlights again.
Kathleen Kearney and her lot of squealers. Miss this, miss that, miss the other. A lot of sparrow farts skitting around talking about politics they know as much about as my backside.
Anything in the world to make themselves some way interesting.
Irish homemade beauties.
Soldier's daughter am I.
Aye,
and whose are you?
Bootmakers and publicans.
I beg your pardon, coach. I thought you were a wheelbarrow.
They'd die down dead off their feet if ever they got a chance of walking down the Alameda on an officer's arm like me on the band night. My eyes flash, my bust that they haven't.
Passion.
God help their poor head. I knew more about men and life when I was 15 than they'll all know at 50. They don't know how to sing a song like that.
Gardner said no man could look at my mouth and teeth smiling like that and not think of it. I was afraid he mightn't like my accent first. He's so English.
All father left me in spite of his stamps.
I have my mother's eyes and figures anyhow, he always said.
They're so snotty about themselves, some of those cads.
He wasn't a bit like that. He was dead gone on my lips.
Let them get a husband first that's fit to be looked at, and a daughter like mine, or see if they can excite a swell with money that can pick and choose whoever he wants.
Like Boylan, to do it 4 or 5 times, locked in each other's arms.
Or The Voice, either.
I could have been a prima donna, only I married him. Deep down, chin back, not too much, make it double.
My lady's bower is too long for an encore. About the moated grange at twilight and vaunted rooms.
Yes, I'll sing Winds That Blow from the South that he gave after the choir stairs performance. I'll change that lace on my black dress to show off my bubs and I'll... Yes, by God, I'll get that big fan mended, make them burst with envy.
My hole is itching me. Always when I think of him, I feel I want to... I feel some wind in me.
Better go easy. Not wake him. Have him at it again, slobbering, after washing every bit of myself, belly, back and sides.
If we even had a bath itself, or my own room.
Anyway.
I wish he'd sleep in some bed by himself with his cold feet on me.
Give us room even to let a farce, God, or do the least thing.
Better.
Yes.
Hold them like that a bit on my side.
Piano, quietly.
Sweet.
There's that train far away. Pianissimo. One more. So.
That was a relief.
Wherever you be, let your wind go free.
Who knows if that pork chop I took with my cup of tea after was quite good with the heat.
I couldn't smell anything off it.
I'm sure that queer-looking man in the pork butcher's is a great rogue.
I hope that lamp is not smoking. Fill my nose up with smuts.
Better than having him leaving the gas on all night.
I couldn't rest easy in my bed in Gibraltar, even getting up to see. Why am I so damned nervous about that?
Though I like it in the winter. It's more company.
Oh, Lord. It was rotten cold, too, that winter. When I was only about 10, was I?
Yes.
I had the big doll with all the funny clothes, dressing her up and undressing.
That icy wind skeeting across from those mountains. The something Nevada.
Sierra Nevada.
Standing at the fire with a little bit of a short shift I had up to heat myself.
I love dancing about in it. Then make a race back into bed.
I'm sure that fella opposite used to be there the whole time, watching with the lights out in the summer and I in my skin hopping around.
I used to love myself then, stripped at the washstand, dabbing and creaming. Only when it came to the chamber performance, I put out the light too. So then there were two of us.
Goodbye to my sleep for this night.
Anyhow, I hope it's not going to get in with those medicals leading him astray to imagine he's young again.
Coming in at 4 in the morning it must be, if not more.
Still, he had the manners not to wake me.
What do they find to gabber about all night? Squandering money and getting drunker and drunker. Couldn't they drink water?
Then he starts giving us his orders for eggs and tea and Findon Haddie and hot buttered toast. I suppose we'll have him sitting up like the king of the country, pumping the wrong end of the spoon up and down in his egg.
Wherever he learned that from.
And I love to hear him falling up the stairs of a morning, with the cups
and
rattling
with
the
cat.
Tray. She rubs up against you for her own.
She flees.
She's as bad
as
a woman, always licking and lecking. I wonder.
What a robber,
did
too.
Did they see anything that
we lovely,
can't?
That lovely, fresh place
staring
I bought.
Staring like that when she sits at
I
the top of the
stairs. I think I'll get a bit of fish
so
tomorrow.
Long.
Or today,
and listening
is it
as I
Friday.
Wait, always.
Yes, I will.
With some blancmange with black currant
only for
jam,
the bones.
Like
I hate
ago.
Those eels.
Not those
cod,
2 yes. pound
I get a nice
of mixed
piece of cod.
Plum and apple.
I'm always
from
getting
the
enough
London
for three
and
forgetting.
Newcastle. Williams and Woods goes twice as far. Anyway, I'm sick of that everlasting butcher's meat from Buckley's, loin chops
and leg beef
and rib snake
and scrag of mutton
and calves pluck, the very name's enough.
Or a picnic.
Suppose we all gave 5 shillings each and or let him pay it and invite some other woman for him.
Who?
Mrs. Fleming.
And drove out to the furry glen or the strawberry beds.
We'd have him examining all the horses' toenails first.
Like he does with the letters.
No, not with boiling there.
Yes, with some cold veal and ham mix sandwiches.
There are little houses down at the bottom of the banks there on purpose.
But it's as hot as blazes, he says.
Not a bank holiday, anyhow. I hate those Rock of Mary Ann coal boxes out for the day.
Whit Monday's a cursed day, too.
No wonder that bee bit him.
Better the seaside.
But I'd never again in this life. get into a boat with him. After him at Bray telling the boatman he knew how to row.
If anyone asked could he ride the steeplechase for the gold cup, he'd say yes.
Then it came on to get rough. The old thing crooketing about and the weight all down my side, telling me to pull the reins right now, pull the left.
And the tide all swamping in floods in through the bottom.
And his oar slipping out of the stirrup.
It's a mercy we weren't all drowned.
He can swim, of course. Me, no.
There's no danger whatsoever. Keep yourself calm.
In his flannel trousers. I'd like to have tattered them down off him before all the people and give him what that one calls flagellate till he was black and blue. Do him all the good in the world.
Only for that long-nosed chap.
I don't know who he is.
With that other beauty, Burke, out of the City Arms Hotel, was there, spying around as usual on the slip always where he wasn't wanted.
If there was a row on, you'd vomit a better face.
There was no love lost between us. That's one consolation.
I wonder what kind is that book he brought me.
Sweets of Sin by a Gentleman of Fashion. Some other Mr. De Cock. I suppose the people gave him that nickname, going about with his tube from one woman to another.
I couldn't even change my new white shoes, all ruined with the salt water.
And the hat I had with that feather all blowy and tossed on me. How annoying and provoking.
Because the smell of the sea excited me, of course. The sardines and the bream in Catalan Bay, down by the whack of the rock.
They were fine. All silver in the fishermen's baskets.
Old Luigi, near 100, they said came from Genoa.
And the tall old chap with the earrings.
I don't like a man you have to climb up to get at.
I suppose they're all dead and rotten long ago.
Besides, I don't like being alone in this big barracks of a place at night.
I suppose I'll have to put up with it.
I never brought a bit of salt in, even, when we moved in.
The confusion. Musical academy he was going to make on the first floor drawing room with a brass plate.
Or Bloom's private hotel, he suggested.
Go and ruin himself altogether the way his father did down in Ennis.
Like all the things he told Father he was going to do. And me.
But I saw through him, telling me all the lovely places we could go for the honeymoon. Venice by moonlight with the gondolas.
And the Lake of Como. He had a picture cut out of some paper of.
And mandolines and lanterns.
Oh, how nice, I said. Whatever I liked, he was going to do immediately, if not sooner. Will you be my man? Will you carry my can?
He ought to get a leather medal with a putty rim for all the plans he invents.
Then leaving us here all day.
You never know what old beggar at the door for a crust with his long story. Might be a tramp and put his foot in the way to prevent me shutting it.
Like that picture of that hardened criminal he was called in Lloyd's Weekly News. 20 years in jail. Then he comes out and murders an old woman for her money.
Imagine his poor wife or mother or whoever she is.
Such a face you'd run miles away from.
I couldn't rest easy till I bolted all the doors and windows to make sure.
But it's worse again, being locked up, like in a prison or a madhouse.
They ought to be all shot, or the cat o' nine tails. A big brute like that, that would attack a poor old woman to murder her in her bed.
I'd cut them off him, so I would.
Not that he'd be much use. Still better than nothing.
The night I was sure I heard burglars in the kitchen.
And he went down in his shirt with a candle and a poker.
As if he was looking for a mouse.
As white as a sheet, frightened out of his wits.
Making as much noise as he possibly could for the burglars' benefit.
There isn't much to steal, indeed, the Lord knows.
Still, it's the feeling, especially now with Millie away.
Such an idea for him to send the girl down there.
To learn to take photographs on account of his grandfather.
Instead of sending her to Skerry's Academy, where she'd have to learn.
Not like me. getting all firsts in school.
Only he'd do a thing like that.
All the same. On account of me and Boylan. That's why he did it. I'm certain, the way he plots and plans everything out.
I couldn't turn round with her in the place lately unless I bolted the door first. Gave me the fidgets, coming in without knocking first. When I put the chair against the door, just as I was washing myself there below with the glove.
Gets on your nerves.
Then, doing the log lady all day.
Put her in a glass case with two at a time to look at her.
If he knew she broke off the hand off that little gimcrack statue with her roughness and carelessness before she left, that I got that little Italian boy to mend so that you can't see the join for 2 shillings, wouldn't even team the potatoes for you.
Of course she's right, not to ruin her hands. I noticed he was always talking to her lately, at the table, explaining things in the paper, and she pretending to understand.
Sly, of course, that comes from his side of the house. He can't say I pretend things, can he? I'm too honest, as a matter of fact.
And helping her into her coat.
But if there was anything wrong with her, it's me she'd tell, not him. I suppose he thinks I'm finished out and laid on the shelf. Well, I'm not, no, nor anything like it. We'll see. We'll see now.
She's well on for flirtifying, too, with Tom Devan's 2 sons.
Imitating me, whistling with those romps of Murray girls calling for her. Can Millie come out, please?
She's in great demand.
To pick what they can out of a round Nelson Street, riding Harry Devon's bicycle at night.
It's as well he sent her where she is. She was just getting out of bounds.
Wanting to go on the skating rink and smoking their cigarettes through their nose.
I smelt it off her dress when I was biting off the thread of the button I sewed on to the bottom of her jacket.
She couldn't hide much from me, I tell you.
Only I oughtn't to have it stitched it and it on her. It brings a parting.
And the last plum pudding too, split in 2 halves.
See? It comes out no matter what they say. Her tongue is a bit too long for my taste.
Your blouse is open too low, she says to me.
The pan calling the kettle a black bottom.
I had to tell her not to cock her legs up like that on show on the windowsill before all the people passing.
They all look at her, like me when I was her age. Of course, any old rag looks well on you then.
A great touch-me-not too in her own way. At the only way, in the Theatre Royal.
Take your foot away out of that. I hate people touching me.
Afraid of her life, I'd crush her skirt with the pleats.
A lot of that touching must go on in theatres. In the crush, in the dare.
They're always trying to wiggle up to you.
That fella in the pit at the Gaiety for Beer Bum Tree and Trilby. The last time I'll ever go there to be squashed like that for any Trilby or her bare bum.
Every 2 minutes, tipping me there and looking away.
He's a bit daft, I think.
I saw him after trying to get near 2 stylish-dressed ladies outside Switzer's window at the same little game. I recognised him on the moment. The face and everything.
But he didn't remember me.
Yes.
And she didn't even want me to kiss her at the Broadstone going away.
Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance on her, the way I did when she was down with the mumps and her glands swollen. Where's this and where's that?
Of course she can't feel anything deep yet. I never came properly till I was, what, 22 or so. It went into the wrong place, always.
Only the usual girl's nonsense and giggling.
That Connie Connolly, writing to her in white ink on black paper, sealed with sealing wax.
So she clapped when the curtain came down because he looked so handsome. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner and supper.
I thought to myself afterwards, it must be real love. If a man gives up his life for her that way for nothing. I suppose there are a few men like that left.
It's hard to believe in it, though. unless it really happened to me. The majority of them with not a particle of love in their natures.
To find two people like that nowadays, full up of each other, that would feel the same way as you do.
They're usually a bit foolish in the head.
His father must have been a bit queer to go and poison himself after her. Still, poor old man. I suppose he felt lost.
She's always making love to my things, too. The few old rags I have. Wanting to put her hair up at 15. My powder, too. Only ruin her skin on her. She's time enough for that all her life after.
Of course she's restless, knowing she's pretty with her lips so red.
A pity they won't stay that way.
I was, too.
But there's no use going to the fair with the thing answering me like a fish woman. When I asked to go for a half a stone of potatoes the day we met Mrs. Jo Gallagher at the trotting matches, and she pretended not to see us in her trap with Friary the solicitor.
We weren't grand enough.
Till I gave her two damn fine cracks across the ear for herself. Take that now for answering me like that. And that for your impudence.
She had me exasperated, of course. Contradicting. I was in bad temper, too, because...
How was it? There was a weed in the tea.
Or I didn't sleep the night before. Cheese I ate, was it?
Then I told her over and over again not to leave knives crossed like that.
Because she has nobody to command her, as she said herself.
Well, if he doesn't correct her faith, I will. That was the last time she turned on the tear tap.
I was just like that myself. They daren't order me about the place. It's his fault, of course. Having the two of us slaving here, instead of getting in a woman long ago.
Am I ever going to have a proper servant again?
Of course then she'd see him coming, and I'd have to let her know or she'd revenge it.
Aren't they a nuisance?
That old Mrs. Fleming... You have to be walking round after her, putting the things into her hands, sneezing and farting into the pots.
Well, of course, she's old. She can't help it.
A good job I found that rotten old smelly dishcloth that got lost behind the dresser. I knew there was something and opened the area window to let out the smell.
Bringing in his friends to entertain them. Like the night he walked home with a dog, if you please, that might have been mad.
Especially Simon Dedalus' son.
His father, such a criticiser, with his glasses up.
With his tall hat on him at the cricket match.
And a great big hole in his sock.
One thing laughing at the other.
And his son that got all those prizes for whatever he won them in the intermediate.
Imagine... climbing over the railings.
If anybody saw him that knew us. I wonder he didn't tear a big hole in his grand funeral trousers.
As if the one nature gave wasn't enough for anybody.
Walking him down into the dirty old kitchen. Now is he right in his head, I ask?
A pity it wasn't washing day. My old pair of drawers might have been hanging up too on the line on exhibition... for all he'd ever care. With the iron mould mark, the stupid old bundle burned on them, he might think was something else.
And she never even rendered down the fat I told her. And now she's going, such as she was.
On account of her paralysed husband getting worse.
There's always something wrong with them.
Disease, or...
they have to go under an operation.
Or if it's not that, it's the drink. And he beats her.
I'll have to hunt around again for someone.
Every day I get up, there's some new thing on.
Sweet God, sweet God.
Well, when I'm stretched out dead in my grave, I suppose I'll have some peace. I want to get up a minute if I'm let.
Wait.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait.
Yes.
The thing has come on me. Yes.
Now, wouldn't that afflict you?
Of course, all the poking and rooting and ploughing he had up in me.
Now what am I to do?
Friday.
Saturday.
Sunday.
Wouldn't that pester the soul out of a body?
Unless he likes it.
Some men do, God knows.
There's always something wrong with us. 5 days every 3 or 4 weeks.
Usual monthly auction.
Isn't it simply sickening?
The night it came on me like that. The one and only time we were in a box that Michael Gunn gave him to see Mrs. Kendall and her husband at the Gaiety.
Something he did about insurance for him and Drimmies.
I was fit to be tied.
Though I wouldn't give in.
With that gentleman of fashion staring down at me with his glasses.
And him the other side of me talking about Spinoza and his soul that's dead, I suppose, millions of years ago.
I smiled the best I could, all in a swamp, leaning forward as if I was interested.
Having to sit it out then. To the last tag.
I won't forget that wife of Scarley in a hurry. Supposed to be a fast play about adultery.
That idiot in the gallery hissing the woman.
Adulteress, he shouted.
I suppose he went and had a woman in the next lane, running round all the back ways after to make up for it.
I wish he had what I had, then he'd boo. I bet the cat itself is better off than us. Have we too much blood up in us, or what?
Oh, patience above. It's pouring out at me like the sea.
Anyhow, he didn't make me pregnant, as big as he is.
I don't want to ruin the clean sheets I just put on. I suppose the clean linen I wore brought it on too.
Damn it.
Damn it.
And they always want to see a stain on the bed to know you're a virgin for them. Oh, that's troubling them. They're such fools, too.
You could be a widow or divorce 40 times over. A daub of red ink would do.
Or blackberry juice.
No, that's too purpley.
Oh, Jamesy, let me up out of this.
Pooh, sweets of sin.
Whoever suggested that business for woman? What between clothes and cooking and children?
This damned old bed, too, jingling like the dickens.
I suppose they could hear us away over the other side of the park. Till I suggested to put the quilt on the floor with the pillow under my bottom.
I wonder, is it nicer in the day?
I think it is.
Easy.
I think I'll cut all this hair off me there.
Scalding me.
I might look like a young girl. Wouldn't he get the great suck in the next time he turned up my clothes on me? I'd give anything to see his face.
Where's the chamber gone?
Easy.
I've a holy horror of its breaking under me after that old commode.
I wonder, was I too heavy sitting on his knee? I made him sit on the easy chair purposely when I took off only my blouse and skirt first in the other room.
He was so busy where he oughtn't to be. He never felt me.
I hope my breath was sweet after those kissing comfits.
Easy. God, I remember one time I could scout it out straight, whistling like a man almost.
Easy.
Oh, Lord.
How noisy. I hope there are bubbles on it for a wad of money from some fella.
I'll have to perfume it in the morning.
Don't forget. I bet he never saw a better pair of thighs than that.
Look how white they are.
The smoothest place is right there.
Between this bit. Here.
How soft. Like a peach.
Easy. God.
I wouldn't mind being a man and get up on a lovely woman.
Oh, Lord, what a row you're making.
Like the Jersey lily.
Easy.
Easy.
Oh, how the waters come down at Lahore.
Who knows, is there anything the matter with my insides or have I something growing in me?
Getting that thing like that. Every week.
When was it last? I...
With Monday?
Yes.
It's only about 3 weeks.
I ought to go to the doctor.
Only it would be like before I married him, when I had that white thing coming from me, and Flowey made me go to that dry old stick Dr. Collins for a woman's diseases on Pembroke Road. Your vagina,
he called it.
I suppose that's how he got all the gilt mirrors and carpets, getting round those rich ones off Stephen's Green, running after him for every little fiddle-faddle.
Her vagina.
And her coach in China. They've money, of course, so they're all right.
I wouldn't marry him, not if he was the last man in the world. Besides, there's something queer about their children.
Always smelling around those filthy bitches all sides.
Asking me if what I did had an offensive odour. What did he want me to do but the one thing?
Gold, maybe.
What a question.
If I smothered it all over his wrinkly old face for him with all my compliments, I suppose he'd know them.
And could you pass it easily?
Pass what?
I thought he was talking about the Rock of Gibraltar, the way he put it.
That's a very nice invention too, by the way.
Only I like letting myself down after, in the hole as far as I can squeeze, and pull the chain then, to flush it. Nice cool pins and needles.
Still, there's something in it, I suppose. I always used to know by Millie's when she was a child whether she had worms or not.
Still, all the same, paying him for that.
How much is that, Doctor?
1 guinea, please. And asking me, had I frequent omissions?
Where do those old fellas get all the words they have?
Omissions.
With his short-sighted eyes on me, cock sideways.
And I wouldn't trust him too far to give me chloroform or God knows what else.
Still, I liked him when he sat down to write the thing out. Frowning so severe, his nose intelligent like that.
You be damned, you lying strap. Oh, anything, no matter who, except an idiot.
He was clever enough to spot that, of course.
That was all thinking of him and his mad, crazy letters.
My precious one, everything connected with your glorious body, everything underlined
that comes from it, is a thing of beauty and of joy forever.
Something he got out of some nonsensical book.
That he had me always at myself. 4 and 5 times a day sometimes. And I said I hadn't.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, I said. I'm quite sure. In a way that shut him up.
I knew what was coming next. Only natural weakness it was.
He excited me.
I don't know how.
The first night ever we met, when I was living in Rehoboth Terrace, we stood staring at one another for about 10 minutes. As if we met somewhere.
I suppose on account of my being Jewess, looking after my mother.
He used to amuse me. The things he said with the half-slutherin' smile on him. And all the Doyle said he was going to stand for a Member of Parliament.
Wasn't I the born fool to believe all his blather about Home Rule and the Land League sending me that long strool of a song out of the Huguenots to sing in French to be more classy that I never even sang once.
Explaining and rigmaroling about religion and persecution.
He won't let you enjoy anything naturally.
Then might he is a great favour.
The very first opportunity he got a chance in Brighton Square, running into my bedroom, pretending the ink got on his hands to wash it off with the Albion milk and sulphur soap I used to use and the gelatin still round it.
I laughed myself sick at him that day.
I better not make an all-night sitting on this affair. They ought to make chambers a natural size so that a woman could sit on it properly.
He kneels down to do it. I suppose there isn't in all creation another man with the habits he has. Look at the way he's sleeping at the foot of the bed.
How can he without a hard bolster?
It's well he doesn't kick, or he might knock out all my teeth. Breathing with his hand on his nose.
Like that Indian god he took me to show one wet Sunday in the museum in Kildare Street. All yellow in a pinafore lying on his side, on his hand.
With his 10 toes sticking out.
That he said was a bigger religion than the Jews and our lords, both put together all over Asia.
Imitating him, as he's always imitating everybody,
I suppose he used to sleep at the foot of the bed too, with his big square feet up in his wife's mouth.
Damn the stinking thing, anyway. Where's this? Those napkins are...
Ah, yes, I know.
I hope the old press doesn't creak.
Oh, I knew it would.
He's sleeping hard. Had a good time somewhere.
Still, she must have given him great value for his money. Of course he has to pay for it from her.
Oh, this nuisance of a thing. I hope they'll have something better for us in the other world, tying ourselves up. God help us. That's all right for tonight now.
The lumpy old jingly bed always reminds me of old Cohen.
I suppose he scratched himself in it often enough.
And he thinks Father bought it from Lord Napier that I used to admire when I was a little girl.
Because I told him. Easy.
Piano.
Oh, I like my bed. God, here we are as bad as ever after 16 years.
How many houses were we in at all?
Raymond Terrace.
And Ontario Terrace.
And Lombard Street.
And Hollis Street. And he goes about whistling every time we're on the run again.
His Huguenots or the Frog's March.
Pretending to help the men with our four sticks of furniture.
And then the City Arms Hotel. Worse and worse, says Warden Daly. That charming place on the landing.
Always somebody inside praying, then leaving all their stinks after them. Always know who was in there last.
Every time we're just getting on right, something happens. Or he puts his big foot in it. Tom's. And Healy's.
And Mr. Cuff's. And Drimmy's. Either he's going to be run into prison over his old lottery tickets that was to be all our salvations.
Or he goes and gives impudence. We'll have him coming home with a sack soon of the Freeman too, like the rest.
On account of those Sinner Féin, or the Freemasons.
And we'll see if the little man he showed me dribbling along in the wet all by himself round by Cody's Lane will give him much consolation that he says is so capable and sincerely Irish.
He is indeed, judging by the sincerity of the trousers I saw on him.
Wait, there's George's church bells. Wait, 3/4 the hour. One. Wait.
2 o'clock.
Well, that's a nice hour of the night for him to be coming home at to anybody.
Climbing down into the area. If anybody saw him, I'll knock him off that little habit tomorrow.
First I'll look at his shirt to see, or I'll see if he has that French letter still in his pocketbook. I suppose he thinks I don't know.
Deceitful men. All their 20 pockets aren't enough for their lies.
Then why should we tell them, even if it's the truth, they don't believe you?
Then, tucked up in bed like those babies in the Aristocrat's masterpiece he brought me another time.
As if we hadn't enough of that in real life, without some old aristocrat, or whatever his name is, disgusting you more with those rotten pictures.
Children with two heads and no legs, that's the kind of villainy they're always dreaming about.
With not another thing in their empty heads.
They ought to get slow poison, the half of them.
Then tea and toast for him, buttered on both sides, and new-laid eggs.
I suppose I'm nothing any more when I wouldn't let him lick me in Hollis Street one night.
Man, tyrant as ever.
For the one thing, he slept on the floor half the night.
Naked, the way the Jews used. When somebody dies, belong to them.
And wouldn't eat any breakfast or speak a word.
Wanting to be petted.
So I thought I stood out enough for one time and let him.
He does it all wrong, too.
Thinking only of his own pleasure.
His tongue is too flat, or I don't know what.
He forgets that we. Then I don't.
I'll make him do it again if he doesn't mind himself.
And lock him down to sleep in the coal cellar with the black beetles.
I wonder, was it her, Josie, off her head with my cast-offs? He's such a born liar, too.
No, he'd never have the courage with a married woman.
That's why he wants me and Boylan.
Though as for her Dennis, as she calls him.
That forlorn-looking spectacle. You couldn't call him a husband.
Yes, it's some little bitch he's got in with.
Even when I was with him with Millie at the college races, that hornblower with a child's bonnet on the top of his knob led us into by the back way, he was throwing his sheep's eyes at those two, doing skirt duty up and down. I tried to wink at him first.
No use, of course.
And that's the way his money goes.
This is the fruits of Mr. Paddy Dignam.
Yes.
They were all in great style at the grand funeral in the paper Boylan brought in.
If they saw a real officer's funeral, that'd be something. Reversed arms, muffled drums, the poor horse walking behind in black.
El Boom and Tom Kernan.
That drunken little barley man that bit his tongue off, falling down the men's WC drunk in some place or other.
And Martin Cunningham and the two Daedaluses and Fanny McCoy's husband.
White head of cabbage, skinny thing with a turn in her eye.
Trying to sing my songs.
She'd want to be born all over again. And her old green dress with the low neck, as she can't attract them any other way, like dabbling on a rainy day.
I see it all now plainly, and they call that friendship. Killing and then burying one another. And they all with their wives and families at home.
More especially Jack Power, keeping that barmaid as he does.
Of course his wife is always sick, or going to be sick, or just getting better of it.
And he's a good-looking man still. Though he's getting a bit grey over the ears.
They're a nice lot, all of them.
Well, they're not going to get my husband again into their clutches if I can help it. Making fun of him then behind his back, I know well, when he goes on with his idiotics. Because he has sense enough not to squander every penny piece he earns down their gullets and looks after his wife and family.
Good for nothings. Poor Paddy Dignam.
All the same, I'm sorry in a way for him.
What are his wife and five children going to do unless he was insured?
Comical little teetotum, always stuck up in some pub corner, and her or her son waiting.
Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Her widow's weeds won't improve her appearance.
They're awfully becoming, though, if you're good-looking.
What men?
Wasn't he? Yes. He was at the Glencree dinner and Ben Dollard bass baritone.
The night he borrowed the swallowtail to sing out of in Hollis Street.
Squeezed and squashed into them and grinning all over his big dolly face like a well-whipped child's body. Didn't he look a bommy bollocks?
Sure enough, that must have been a spectacle on the stage.
Imagine paying 5 shilling in the preserved seats for that. To see him trotting off in his trowlers.
And Simon Dedalus, too. He was always turning up half-screwed, singing the second verse first.
The old love is the new was one of his.
So sweetly sang the maiden
he was always on for flirtifying, too.
When I sang Maritana with him at Freddie Mayer's private opera.
He had a delicious, glorious voice.
Beauty race, goodbye, sweetheart.
Sweetheart, he always sang it.
Not like Bartell Darcy. Sweetheart, goodbye.
Of course he had the gift of the voice. So there was no arse in it.
All over you, like a warm shower bath.
Oh, Maritana, wildwood flower.
We sang splendidly.
Thought it was a bit too high for my register, even transposed.
And he was married at the time to May Goulding.
But then he'd say or do something to knock the good out of it.
He's a widower now.
I wonder... What sort is his son? He says he's an author and going to be a university professor of Italian. And I'm to take lessons.
What is he driving at now?
Showing him my photo.
It's not good of me.
I ought to have got it taken in drapery. That never looks out of fashion.
Still, I look young in it.
I wonder he didn't make him a present of it altogether. And me too. After all, why not?
I saw him driving down to the Kingsbridge station with his father and mother. I was in mourning. That's 11 years ago now.
Yes, he'd be 11.
Though what was the good in going into mourning for what was neither one thing nor the other?
The first cry was enough for me. I heard the death watch too, ticking in the wall.
Of course he insisted.
He'd go into mourning for the cat.
I suppose he's a man now by this time.
He was an innocent boy then, and a darling little fella, in his Lord Fauntleroy suit and curly hair, like a prince on the stage, when I saw him at Matt Dillon's.
He liked me too, I remember. They all do.
Wait. By God.
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Hold on. He was on the cards this morning when I laid out the deck. Union with the young stranger, neither dark nor fair.
You met before. I thought it meant him.
But he's no chicken, nor a stranger either. Besides, my face was turned the other way.
What was the seventh card after that?
The Ten of Spades, for a journey by land.
Then there was a letter on its way.
And scandals, too.
The three queens and the eight of diamonds for a rise in society.
Yes.
Wait.
It all came out.
And two red eights for new garments.
Look at that.
And didn't I dream something, too?
Yes.
There was something about poetry in it.
I hope he hasn't long, greasy hair hanging into his eyes or standing up like a red Indian.
What do they go about like that for?
Only getting themselves and their poetry laughed at.
I always liked poetry when I was a girl. First I thought he was a poet, like Lord Byron.
And not an ounce of it in his composition.
I thought he was quite different.
I wonder, is he too young?
He's about...
Wait.
88. I was married.
88.
Millie is 15 yesterday.
89.
What age was he then at Dillon's?
5 or 6 about.
88.
I suppose he's 20.
Or more. I'm not too old for him. If he's 23 or 24.
I hope he's not that stuck-up university student sort.
No. Otherwise he wouldn't go sitting down in the old kitchen with him, taking Epps's cocoa and talking.
Of course he pretended to understand it all. Probably he told him he was out of Trinity College.
He's very young to be a professor.
I hope he's not a professor like Goodwin was.
He was a potent professor of John Jameson.
They all write about some woman in their poetry.
Well, I suppose he won't find many like me.
Where softly sighs of love delight guitar.
Where poetry is in the air.
The blue sea and the moon shining so beautifully.
Coming back on the night boat from Tarifa.
The lighthouse at Europa Point.
The guitar that fella played was so expressive.
Will I ever go back there again?
All new faces.
Two glancing eyes, a lattice head.
I'll sing that for him. They're my eyes, if he's anything of a poet.
Two eyes as darkly bright as love's own star.
Aren't those beautiful words?
As love's young star.
It'll be a change, the Lord knows, to have an intelligent person to talk to about yourself. Not always listening to him, and Billy Prescott's ad, and Keyes's ad, and Tom the Devil's ad. Then, if anything goes wrong in their business, we have to suffer.
I'm sure he's very distinguished. I'd like to meet a man like that.
God, not those other ruck.
Besides, he's young. Those fine young men I could see down in Margate's Strand bathing place. From the side of the rock, standing up in the sun, naked, like a god or something, and then plunging into the sea with them.
Why aren't all men like that?
There'd be some consolation for a woman.
Like that lovely little statue he bought.
I could look at him all day long.
Curly head and his shoulders, his finger up for you to listen.
There's real beauty in poetry for you.
I often felt I wanted to kiss him all over. Also his lovely young cock there, so simple. I wouldn't mind taking him in my mouth if nobody was looking, as if it was asking you to suck it.
So clean and white he looks with his boyish face.
I would too in half a minute even, if some of it went down.
What? It's only like gruel or the dew.
There's no danger. Besides, he'd be so clean.
Compared with those pigs of men, I suppose never dream of washing it from one year's end to the other, the most of them. Only that's what gives the women the moustaches, I'm sure.
It'll be grand if I can only get in with the handsome young poet at my age.
I'll throw them the first thing in the morning, till I see if the wish card comes out. Or I'll try pairing the lady herself and see if he comes out.
I'll read and study all I can find. Or learn a bit off by heart. If I knew who he likes, so he won't think me stupid.
If he thinks all women are the same.
Then I can teach him the other part. I'll make him feel all over him, till he half faints under me. Then he'll write about me, lover and mistress. Publicly too, with our two photographs in all the papers when he becomes famous.
Oh, but then what am I going to do about him, though? No, that's no way for him. Has he no manners, nor no refinement, nor no nothing in his nature slapping us behind like that on my bottom because I didn't call him Hugh?
The ignoramus. That doesn't know poetry from a cabbage.
That's what you get for not keeping them in their proper place. Pulling off his shoes and trousers there on the chair before me. So barefaced without even asking permission. And standing out that vulgar way in the half of a shirt they wear to be admired like a priest or a butcher. Or those old hypocrites in the time of Julius Caesar.
Of course he's right enough in his way to pass the time as a joke.
Sure.
You might as well be in bed with what? A lion?
God, I'm sure he'd have something better to say for himself. An old lion would.
Ugh, well, I suppose it's become because they were so plump and tempting in my short petticoat he couldn't resist. They excite myself sometimes.
It's well for men. All the amount of pleasure they get off a woman's body. We're so round and white for them always.
I wished I was one myself for a change. Just to try. With that thing they have, swelling up on you so hard. And at the same time so soft when you touch it.
My Uncle John has a thing long.
I heard those corner boys saying, passing the corner of Marrowbone Lane.
My Aunt Mary has a thing hairy.
Because it was dark and they knew a girl was passing, it didn't make me blush.
And why should it either? It's only nature.
And he puts his thing long into my Aunt Mary's hairy,
etc. And turns out to be you put the handle in a sweeping brush.
Men again all over. They can pick and choose what they please. A married woman.
Or a fast widow.
Or a girl for their different tastes, like the houses round behind Irish Street.
No.
But we're to be always chained up.
They're not going to be chaining me up, no damn fear. Once I start, I tell you.
For their stupid husband's jealousy. Why can't we all remain friends over it, instead of quarrelling?
Her husband found it out, what they did together. Well, naturally. And if he did, can he undo it?
He's Coronado anyway, whatever he does.
And then he go into the other mad extreme about the wife and fair tyrants.
Of course the man never even casts a second thought on the husband, or wife either. It's the woman he wants, and he gets her.
What else were we given all those desires for, I'd like to know?
I can't help it if I'm young still.
can I?
It's a wonder I'm not an old shriveled hag before my time.
Living with him so cold.
Never embracing me. Except sometimes when he's asleep.
The wrong end of me.
Not knowing, I suppose, who he has.
Any man that'd kiss a woman's bottom, I'd throw my hat at him after that.
He'd kiss anything unnatural.
Where we haven't one atom of any kind of expression in us. All of us the same.
Two lumps of lard.
Before I'd ever do that to a man. the dirty brutes.
The mere thought is enough.
I kiss the feet of you, Signorita.
There's some sense in that. Didn't he kiss our hall door?
Yes, he did.
What a madman. Nobody understands his cracked ideas but me.
Still, of course a woman wants to be embraced.
20 times a day, almost, to make her look young.
No matter by who, so long as to be in love or loved by somebody.
If the fellow you want isn't there.
Sometimes, by the Lord God, I was thinking, would I go around by the quays there some dark evening where nobody'd know me and pick up a sailor off the sea that'd be hot on for it and not care a pin whose I was, only do it off up in a gate somewhere or one of those wild-looking gypsies in Rathfarnham.
Had their camp pitched near the Bloomfield laundry to try and steal our things if they could. I only sent mine there a few times for the name Model Laundry, sending me back over and over some old ones, odd stockings.
That blackguard-looking fella with the fine eyes, peeling a switch, attack me in the dark and ride me up against the wall without a word. Or a murderer, anybody.
What they do themselves, the fine gentlemen in their silk hats. That Casey lives up somewhere this way. Coming out of Hardwick Lane, the night he gave us the fish supper on account of winning over the boxing match. Of course, it was for me he gave it. I knew him by his gaiters and the walk. And when I turned round a minute after just to see, there was a woman after coming out of it too. Some filthy prostitute. Then he goes home to his wife after that.
Only I suppose the half of those sailors are rotten again with disease.
Move over your big carcass out of that, for the love of Mike!
Listen to him! The winds that waft my sighs to thee, so well he may sleep and sigh, the great suggester.
Don Poldo della Flora.
If he knew how he came out on the cards this morning, he'd have something to sigh for.
A dark man in some perplexity, between 2 sevens too in prison, for Lord knows what he does that I don't know. And I'm to be slouching around down in the kitchen to get his lordship his breakfast while he's rolled up like a mummy.
Will I indeed? Do you ever see me running? I just like to see myself at it. Show them attention and they treat you like dirt.
I don't care what anybody says. It'd be much better for the world to be governed by the women in it. You wouldn't see women going and killing one another and slaughtering.
When do you ever see women rolling around drunk like they do?
Or gambling every penny they have and losing it on the horses?
Yes. Because a woman, whatever she does, she knows where to stop.
Sure. They wouldn't be in the world at all. Only for us.
They don't know what it is to be a woman and a mother.
How could they? Where would they, all of them, be if they hadn't all a mother to look after them? What I never had.
That's why I suppose he's running wild now. Out at night, away from his books and studies, and not living at home, on account of the usual rowy house, I suppose.
Well, it's a poor case that those that have a fine son like that, they're not satisfied. And I none.
Was he not able to make one? It wasn't my fault.
We came together when I was watching the two dogs, up in her behind, in the middle of the naked street.
That disheartened me altogether.
I suppose I oughtn't to have buried him in that little woolly jacket I knitted, crying as I was, but give it to some poor child. But I knew well I'd never have another.
Our first death, too, it was.
We were never the same since.
Oh. I'm not going to think myself into the glooms about that anymore.
I wonder why he wouldn't stay the night.
I felt all the time it was somebody strange he brought in.
Instead of roving around the city, meeting God knows who, nightwalkers and pickpockets.
Poor mother wouldn't like that if she was alive, ruining himself for life, perhaps.
Still, it's a lovely hour. So silent.
I used to love coming home after dances. The air of the night. They have friends they can talk to. We've none.
Either he wants what he won't get, or it's some woman ready to stick her knife in you.
I hate that in women.
No wonder they treat us the way they do.
We're a dreadful lot of bitches. I suppose it's all the troubles we have make us so snappy.
I'm not like that.
He could easy have slept in there, on the sofa, in the other room. I suppose he was as shy as a boy, he being so young, hardly 20, of me in the next room.
He'd have heard me on the chamber.
Arrowet arm. Deadless.
I wonder. It's like those names in Gibraltar. De la Paz de la Grazia. They had the devil's queer names there.
Father Philip Plana of Santa Maria that gave me the rosary. Rosales, O'Reilly in the Calle La Sieta Revueltas.
And Pisimbo and Mrs. Opisso in Governor Street.
Oh, what a name.
I'd go and drown myself in the first river if I had a name like her.
Oh, my. And all the bits of streets. Paradise Ramp and Bedlam Ramp.
And Rogers Ramp and Crotchets Ramp.
And the Devil's Gap Steps.
Well, small blame to me if I am a harum scarum. I know I am a bit.
I declare to God, I don't feel a day older than then.
I wonder could I get my tongue round any of the Spanish. ¿Cómo está usted?
Muy bien, gracias. You usted?
See, I haven't forgotten it all. I thought I had, only for the grammar.
A noun is the name of any person, place, or thing.
Pity I never tried to read that novel cantankerous Mrs. Rubio lent me by Valera, with the questions in it all upside down the two ways.
I always knew we'd go away in the end.
I can tell him the Spanish, and he tell me the Italian. Then he'll see I'm not so ignorant.
What a pity he didn't stay.
I'm sure the poor fellow was dead tired and wanted a good sleep badly.
I could have brought him breakfast in bed with a bit of toast, so long as I didn't do it on the knife for bad luck. Or if the woman was going rounds with the watercress and something nice and tasty.
There are a few olives in the kitchen he might like. I never could bear the look of them in Abrines.
I could do the criada. The room looks all right, since I changed it the other way.
You see, something was telling me all the time.
I'd have to introduce myself, not knowing me from Adam.
Very funny, wouldn't it?
I'm his wife.
Or pretend we were in Spain with him half awake, without a God's notion where he is.
Thus huevo desrayado, señor. Lord, the crack things come into my head sometimes. Oh, it'd be great fun. Supposing he stayed with us.
Why not? There's the room upstairs empty. And Millie's bed in the back room. He could do his writing and studies at the table in there. For all the scribbling he does at it.
And if he wants to read in bed in the morning like me, as he's making the breakfast for one, he can make it for two, I'm sure.
I'm not going to take in lodgers off the street for him if he takes a gazebo of a house like this.
I'd love to have a long talk with an intelligent, well-educated person. I'd have to get a nice pair of red slippers, like those Turks with the fez used to sell, or yellow. And a nice, semi-transparent morning gown that I badly want. Or a peach blossom dressing jacket, like the one long ago in Walpole's. Only 8 and 6, or 18 and 6.
I'll just give him one more chance.
I'll get up early in the morning.
I'm sick of Cohen's old bed.
In any case, I might go over to the markets to see all the vegetables and cabbages and tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of splendid fruits all coming in lovely and fresh. Who knows who'd be the first man I'd meet? They're out looking for it in the morning, Mamie Dillon used to say.
They are, and the night, too.
That was her mass going.
I'd love a big juicy pear now, to melt in your mouth like when I used to be in the Longin' Way.
Then I'll throw him up his eggs and tea in the moustache cup she gave him to make his mouth bigger. I suppose he'd like my nice cream, too.
I know what I'll do. I'll go about rather gay. Not too much. Singing a bit, now and then. Then I'll start dressing myself to go out. I'll put on my best shift and drawers. Let him have a good eyeful out of that.
Make his Mickey stand for him.
I'll let him know, if that's what he wanted, that his wife is fucked, yes, and damn well fucked too, up to my neck nearly. Not by him. 5 or 6 times hand running.
There's the mark of his spunk on the clean sheet.
I wouldn't bother to even iron it out.
That ought to satisfy him.
If you don't believe me, feel my belly. Unless I made him stand there and put him into me. I've a mind to tell him every scrap and make him do it out in front of me.
Serve him right. It's all his own fault if I am an adulteress, as the thing in the gallery says.
Oh, much about it. If that's all the harm ever we did in this vale of tears.
God knows it's not much, doesn't everybody?
Only they hide it.
I suppose that's what a woman is supposed to be there for. Or he wouldn't have made us the way he did, so attractive to men.
Then if he wants to kiss my bottom, I'll drag open my drawers and bulge it right out in his face as large as life. He can stick his tongue 7 miles up my hole as he's there.
My brown part.
Then I'll tell him I want 1 pound, or perhaps 30 shilling. I'll tell him I want to buy underclothes. Then if he gives me that, well, he won't be too bad. I don't want to soak it all out of him, like other women do.
I could have often written out a fine cheque for myself and write his name on it for a couple of pounds. A few times he forgot to lock it up. Besides, he won't spend it.
I'll let him do it off on me behind.
Provided he doesn't smear all my good drawers.
Oh, I suppose that can't be helped.
I'll do the indifferent. 1 or 2 questions. I'll know by the answers.
When he's like that, he can't keep a thing back. I know every turn in him.
I'll tighten my bottom well and let out a few smutty words. Smell romper, lick my shit. Or the first mad thing comes into my head, then I'll suggest about. Yes.
Oh, wait.
Now, Sonny, my turn is coming. I'll be quite gay and friendly over it.
Oh, but I was forgetting this bloody pest of a thing. You wouldn't know which to laugh or cry. We're such a mixture of plum and apple.
No, I'll have to wear the old things.
So much the better. It'll be more pointed. He'll never know whether he did it or not.
There, that's good enough for you.
Any old thing at all.
Then I'll wipe him off me just like a business.
His omission.
Then I'll go out.
I'll have him eyeing up at the ceiling. Where is she gone now?
Make him want me. That's the only way.
1:15. What an unearthly hour. I suppose they're just getting up and shining now. Combing out their pigtails for the day. We'll soon have the nuns ringing the Angelus. They've nobody coming in to spoil their sleep.
Except an odd priest or two for his night office.
Or the alarm clock next door at cockshout, clattering the brains out of itself.
Let me see if I can doze off.
1.
What kind of flowers are those 2. They invented? Like the stars.
3.
The wallpaper in Lombard Street was much nicer. The apron he gave me was like that. Only I wore it twice.
Better lower this lamp and try again so as I can get up early.
I'll go to Lamb's there, beside Finn Later's, and get them to send us some flowers to put about the place in case he brings them home tomorrow. Today, I mean.
No, no. Friday's an unlucky day.
First I want to do the place up some way.
The dust grows in it, I think, while I'm asleep.
Then we can have music and cigarettes. I can accompany him first.
I must clean the keys of the piano with milk.
What'll I wear?
Shall I wear a white rose?
Or those fairy cakes and Lipton's?
I love the smell of a rich big shop.
At 7 pence a pound. Or the other ones, with the cherries in them and the pinky sugar. 11 pence. A couple of pounds of those.
A nice plant for the middle of the table. I'd get that cheaper in... Wait, where's this? I saw them not long ago.
I love flowers. I'd love to have the whole place swimming in roses.
God of heaven, there's nothing like nature.
The wild mountains, then the sea, and the waves rushing, then the beautiful country with the fields of oats and wheat.
And all kinds of things.
And all the fine cattle going about.
That would do your heart good to see.
Rivers and lakes and flowers. All sorts of shapes and smells and colours. Springing up even out of the ditches. Primroses and violets.
Nature it is.
As for them saying there's no God.
I wouldn't give a snap of my two fingers for all their learning.
Why don't they go and create something? I often asked them.
Atheists, or whatever they call themselves, go and wash the cobbles off themselves first.
Then they go howling for the priest, and they dying. And why? Why?
Because they're afraid of hell, on account of their bad conscience. Ah, yes, I know them well.
Who was the first person in the universe, before there was anybody that made it all?
Who?
That they don't know.
Neither do I, so there you are.
They might as well try to stop the sun from rising tomorrow.
The sun shines for you, he said. The day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Howth Head.
In the grey tweed suit and his straw hat.
The day I got him to propose to me.
Yes.
First I gave him a bit of seed cake out of my mouth.
And it was leap year, like now.
Yes.
16 years ago, my God.
After that long kiss, I near lost my breath.
Yes.
He said I was a flower of the mountain.
Yes.
So we are all flowers. A woman's body.
Yes. That was one true thing he said in his life.
And the sun shines for you today.
Yes, that was why I liked him. Because I saw he understood or felt what a woman is.
And I knew I could always get round him. And I gave him all the pleasure I could.
Leading him on till he asked me to say yes.
And I wouldn't answer first, only looked out over the sea and the sky. I was thinking of so many things he didn't know of.
Mulvey and Mr. Stanhope and Hester and Father and old Captain Groves.
And the sailors playing.
All birds fly and I say stoop.
And washing up dishes, they called us on the pier.
And the sentry in front of the governor's house.
With the thing round his white helmet.
Poor devil, half roasted.
And the Spanish girls laughing in their shawls and their tall combs.
And the auctions in the morning.
The Greeks.
And the Jews.
And the Arabs.
And the devil knows who else.
From all the ends of Europe.
And Duke Street.
And the foul market. All clucking outside
Larby Sharon's.
And the poor donkeys slipping half asleep.
And the vague fellas and the cloaks asleep in the shade on the steps.
And the big wheels of the carts of the bulls.
And the old castle thousands of years old.
Yes.
And those handsome Moors all in white and turbans like kings.
Asking you to sit down in their little bit of a shop.
And Rhonda, with the old windows of the Posadas.
Two glancing eyes, a lattice hid.
For her lover to kiss the iron.
And the wine shops, half open at night.
And the castanets.
And the night we missed the boat at Algeciras.
The watchman going about, serene with his lamp.
And oh, that awful deep down torrent, oh. And the sea, crimson sometimes like fire.
And the glorious sunsets, and the fig trees in the Alameda Gardens.
Yes.
And all the queer little streets. And the pink and blue and yellow houses.
And the rose gardens.
And the jessamine.
And geranium and cactuses.
And Gibraltar as a girl.
Where I was a flower of the mountain.
Yes.
When I put the rose in my hair, like the Andalusian girls used.
Or shall I wear a red?
Yes.
And how he kissed me under the Moorish wall.
And I thought, well, as well him as another.
And then I asked him with my eyes to ask again.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he asked me, would I?
Yes.
To say yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him.
Yes. Yes. And drew him down to me so he could feel my breasts all perfume.
Yes. And his heart was going like mad. And yes,
I said yes,
I will.
Yes.
Just heard the Galway-born Irish-American actress Carrot O'Brien and the Bronx-born half-Irish actress Bernadette Quigley perform the complete soliloquy of Molly Bloom. This concludes Radio Bloomsday and our celebration of the genius of James Joyce. Thank you for listening. I'm Janet Coleman, host and producer, speaking on behalf of Carrot O'Brien, writer-director, John L. Mella, technical director, Paul Ruest, production supervisor and engineer, and his assistant Lillian Terry Walsh, and our production team here at Argo Studios in New York, Aaron Bell, Tara Bonner-James, and Marianne Miller. Thanks also to WBAI General Manager Bertold Reimers, Interim Development Director Andrea Katz, KPFK Program Director Alan Minsky, the Pacifica Radio Archives staff, Brian DeShazer, Mark Torres, and Mark Maxwell, KPFA Interim General Manager Richard Perotsky, Pacifica FCC Attorney John Krigler, the James Joyce Center, GlobalBloomsday.com, and Dan Coughlin and Seamus Rodriguez of MNN. The director also sends a shout-out to Marie-Louise Beau, Brian Heron, Yvonne Thunder, Frank Delaney, and Aaron Bell, and I send another to Steve Brown. And please send your comments to RadioBloomsday@gmail.com. Yes.
which I gaze on so fondly today, were to change by tomorrow and fleet in mine arms, like fairy gifts fading away. This moment thou art, let thy loveliness fade as it will, and around pure ruin each wish of my heart would entwine itself verdantly still. The fervor and faith of a soul can be known, to which time will but make thee more dear. No, the heart that has truly loved never forgets, but as truly loves on to the flow, as the sunflower turns on her god when he sets, the same look which she turned when he
rather, for I had sinned. She had big brown eyes, silky skin. Bless me, father, I couldn't resist. Oh, father, you have no idea what you've missed. No, no. It's Wednesday every second week, from September. Took my hand and led me up
On Thursday, June 19th, starting from 10 a.m. until noon, there will be a report with the listener that will feature the general manager, Bertrand Reimers, and some other guests. Listeners, make sure you have your questions ready for Thursday, June 19th, starting at 10 a.m. There will be a report with the listener here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
We're the New Orleans Jazz Vipers at WBAI, New York City.
And you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And this should be, should have been, well, actually will be, Night Shift. Normally we're on from midnight till 3 a.m., but today, because of Bloomsbury, Night Shift doesn't come on until 2, which it is now. So I'm going to have a special rebroadcast of a classic Night Shift. Now, this is from 19 years ago and before. I'm going to start with an episode with Byron. And this is back when we used to be on Thursday mornings at 3:30 till 6 a.m. So you'll hear a little promo or cart for that. But we're on midnight on Mondays now, normally. First 45 minutes will be Byron. And then I have some classic Night Shift from even earlier, 1991, 92. With Chris Taylor.
What's that noise?
I believe it is a primitive form of communication known as Morse code.
You're right. I'm in a lot of practice. That's an S.
A T.
A. N. D. End of word.
Stand.
New word. B. A.
C. K. Back. Stand back.
Stand back!
Late. It's dark. He should have been home by now. It's late. It's dark. He should have been home by now.
getting pretty sick of you. Yes, but you love me.
Night shift again. Shift again.
Cared enough to have a dream.
Shift again.
anyone should care about these forests? What's going to happen if these forests and all this incredible beauty is lost for all time?
Everybody say, oops, upside the head, say, oops, upside.
fever.
I'm cooking. I'm on a roll. What's the matter with you?
Boom!
Circling cold.
Oy vey, what a day, what a schmear. Hey, yeah. Now, give me a kiss. Is something wrong with you? I had such a terrible day. First the computer turns off. Then the wolf painting jumps off the wall. It attacks you without provocation, then your mother calls, the toilet explodes. The duck I'm cooking tries to tell me how to live my life. The computer completely erased itself when it turned off. No wonder that I can't write my great American novel.
And so in order to sort of unlearn the skepticism that most of us have about what we can do and where we can go and how much we can have, and that's basically what the entire program is about. It's about ridding yourself of the skepticism about what kind of miracles that you can create. You have probably learned to grow up in a world where you just know that certain things are not possible for you to accomplish. And even if your parents didn't put that into you, and even if the schools didn't and so on, there's still this cultural kind of belief system that is very difficult to shake. Imagine in some parts of the world, India, there are places in India where children are taught that they can put out fires with their minds. And then they train their minds, and they work on their minds, and they go inward, and they meditate regularly. There are places in the world where holy men can be buried for 6 and 7 days at a time. And they can literally bring their heart rate down to zero and step out of it and survive. And we think that that's not possible, that our minds aren't capable of that. We have to rid ourselves of all skepticism about what can be achieved for ourselves. And the way that you do that is through a wonderful old Zen proverb that most of us have never really looked at in depth. And the proverb is, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Now, it doesn't mix with what you've been taught about doubt and fear. You've been taught to doubt that things will appear for you just because you have a readiness. So let's look at the four key words in this concept. The first is the word student. See, you've got to stay a student in life. You've got to understand that you have to have a willingness to allow yourself to learn anything or unlearn anything at any time. A student is someone who decides not to be an expert, who is always, instead of responding with, oh, I already know that, oh, you can't tell me anything new about that, oh, I've lived a long time, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. All of these kinds of statements and belief systems and knowings, which are doubts and fears of discovering something new, you create a new mindset, if you will. A new mindset is, that's interesting. I've never heard of that before.
The name of the show.
Night Show. You're taking away everything.
I never heard quite put that way. I'd like to examine that. I'd like to see if that might have some validity for me. So what we want to do is to make a commitment to ourselves to stay a student. Now, a student is someone who learns from everyone. A student isn't just someone who goes to class and then takes notes and passes an exam and gets a scratching on a transcript someplace. A student is someone who sees the fullness of God in everyone and everything.
Magical move.
The name of the show.
Night shift.
Something cold.
Night World.
The name of the show.
Night Shift. Night World.
The name of the show.
Night Shift. Night Shift.
The name of the show.
Night Shift. Night Shift.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI.
Night Shift.
The name of the show.
Night Shift.
99.5.
Night Shift.
FM.
Night Shift. Night Shift.
It's 4:05.
Night Shift.
Where are you?
Night Shift.
Nice and Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI.
Night Shift.
As we are with you now, there is
Night Shift.
Nothing that we are
Night Shift
upon. And not what you are.
Night Shift. Night Shift. Night Shift.
With Byron Shift. With Byron Shift. With Byron Saunders.
Night Shift.
Tunes of Listen Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI. I'm Mike Sargent.
Night Shift.
That other man is Byron Saunders.
I'm Byron Saunders.
And we have a mystery guest.
Another mystery guest.
A different mystery
Another
guest.
Another mystery guest.
Yes.
Say hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
Hello.
There it is.
Rock Miss Sock Ray.
Just calls me up earlier this week and he says to me, he says, you know, Mike, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for letting me have fun every week. There's a whole side of me that I didn't know existed. And you let me have it and be this there on that show. Now, mystery guest, what do you think of that?
Whoa.
Do you think I've opened up some part of him?
Well, I don't know about that.
Really make that call,
Byron?
I made that
up close
call.
And personal.
God.
So, Byron,
Yo,
good morning.
So, talk morning, to me. What's happening
good
today?
Good morning, New York.
And yes.
Anywhere else listening? I'm Mike Sargent. And this is Byron Saunders. We have a mystery guest. The mystery guest who's sort of half involved in the show. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But here's the deal.
Yeah. Deal.
This morning, we're going to hear the continuation of something that began last week.
Oh, no.
Okay, yes.
A cereal.
Yes. Well, there it is. It's a cereal within reality, okay. However. This is a reality cereal. That's
right.
What it is.
Reality cereal.
From Kellogg's.
Okay.
Snap, crackle, pop. But here's the deal, Byron.
Okay.
Patrick C. Wells is a very interesting
coming
man.
Back?
He's coming back, yes, he is. He's an interesting man. And we'll find out more about what he calls the reptilian brain, Byron. The reptilian brain, okay?
He stated
that there is something called, there are three parts of the human brain, and it is the reptilian part that has been overdeveloped in our society, which is why we have the violence purveying it the way we do, and children, you know, killing each other, and all kinds of, it's the reptilian brain in power.
Sounds like a Vincent Price movie.
Sounds like Life of Science Fiction to me. So, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll let the music go to the background.
So, do we have lots happening?
We do have a lot happening. Yes, we do.
Morning.
So, we're going to be talking to Patrick Wells. That's about 5:15.
Okay.
I've got a list, Byron, of films in production. Just some films that are in production.
Yeah.
And, you know, you judge for yourself based on the concept, the title, the people involved. You judge for yourself as to what is really going on.
So, we segue to the entertainment.
Well, I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm giving you the tape. Look at Byron. He's got his files ready. But I was announcing the table of contents.
Well, what else is on
You asked me. You said, what's on the show?
Well, what else
and
is
I
happening,
I know that was merely
man?
You trying to get me to trigger you for something that you have in that stack sitting next to you.
That's right.
You have a stack. You have a stack of stuff over there. And what's with the blue slip sheets and everything? And he's been taking notes since he arrived. And, Byron, what are you doing?
Well, they're compartmentalized. And I know who's on the show.
You know who's on the show. And
I'm prepared.
So you're prepared.
I'm the
Byron,
ever ready.
You're prepared.
Hired
now, how come the mystery guest doesn't seem prepared at all?
I don't see any excitement going
around. Oh, well, you see. You know,
stop it.
There it is. There's no excitement.
I need more sugar then. Yeah,
I know something.
Yes.
You've got, you're back to sugar, Byron.
I've got sugar and fructose here.
This is the Byron's back to sugar
I'm
music.
I'm slowly graduating myself back to the Byron of old.
The Byron of old, I understand.
But you know, like, California
really thought
changed my
so
life.
So who's here with us now?
Going
yes.
on.
Yo.
Look at that. It's old Rob.
Old Rob.
It's old Rob.
I'm here. I love you, baby.
And who else is here?
What's up, guys?
The who?
That's old Edwin, man.
Oh, old Edwin. Old Edwin.
That kind of that Star Trek thing, yeah.
And who else is there?
What up, guys?
Is there a Romulan on with you, Edwin?
No, they're asleep.
Romulans sleep? I didn't know Romulans could sleep.
They're in sleep.
In sleep mode,
Byron.
All right.
So, okay. Well, we'll see if we can excite the mystery guest by talking about the things. What happened last week? You didn't listen.
I had a midterm on Thursday.
I understand. Well, what happened last week? Okay.
Yeah, what did happen?
What happened last week?
What zone were we in?
We were in another
zone.
Total
cliffhanger.
Right. The last statement he made was that he based on interviewing this man who had a near-death experience, and you see this light. This man asked the light questions like.
Wait. Yes, the light.
Yes. Don't laugh. Okay.
Hey, you come on.
You must be willing.
Excuse
you
me.
Must be
if
a student.
If the Bible can speak of burning bushes,
correct?
We can have talking lights.
Can I finish telling you what happened last week, or do you just want
to
talk?
Okay.
Listen to me. Let me just tell you the cliffhanger. The light. Let me tell you what he asked the light.
What did he ask the light?
He asked the light. Listen, if you are all that you are in truth and goodness and this and that, how could there be a Holocaust?
You know, how do you explain the Holocaust?
Good question.
Right? And you know what the light said? Okay. I'll just give you the cliffhanger that is, amongst other things, that in what he said was a 10-minute explanation. Okay, of what the light said. But what he said is that all the victims of the Holocaust were volunteers. Now, that's what he said. So this is Patrick Wells. So
that could have to do with the...
Oh, well, come on. You're going to tell me...
He's got some explaining to do.
No. Rob has some insight. Go ahead, Rob.
Yes, Rob.
No, I said that could have to do with, like, Jewish folklore, whereas the Jewish people are the chosen people. I mean, are we talking about the Holocaust?
Chosen to die in the Holocaust?
Wow.
Well, they were chosen to suffer for all of mankind.
Oh, all right. Well, there it is. Well, we'll soon see if you have spoken to the light, too.
Terrible to light.
Excuse me, what's
that? I said we shall soon see if you have spoken to the light yourself.
If I have spoken,
that's
to
right.
The
you have this wisdom.
Yes. I think you're getting the.
You're bugging me out, Mike.
No, I'm saying that you feel that what he's saying, that you instantly have an idea as to what he's saying, is what I'm saying. So I'm interested to see if what he has to say is anything like what you're saying, Rob.
That's what I meant by what I just said. I had to take a. World religion class last year, so I know a little bit about that.
All right, well, hey, I'm interested to see what his explanation of that is. Aren't you, Byron?
Yes, he did leave the show in a cliffhanger.
He left that hanging.
And
so let's hear.
You lit know. Up when he was on, so yes.
We'll be interested. Yeah. And we'll also ask him about a couple of films that he's producing. He's producing a film now. He's producing a film now that should be very interesting. I was told what the plot is, and it is a very interesting plot. But let's see if he would tell it to us. Okay. I was told it in confidence, as it were.
Any movie reviews this week?
Yes, well, I do have only one film
just
to review.
One film
to review. Yes, one film. And I only saw this film because of the fact that I'm writing a comedy myself, and I thought that this had something to do with the nature of what I was writing. That is it.
Oh, I have some music to preview this week.
I know, you told me.
Yes.
Is that what that cassette is over there?
That's what that cassette
is. Is that what that cassette is over
yes.
there? I noticed the cassette.
Absolutely.
What's that? Yeah, the Byron has James Scott Meets Jim Carrey tape. That's Byron's contribution to this morning show.
James Scott in Africa, man?
Yeah, I did. You missed James Scott in Africa.
Oh, you played that last week, too?
No, I played that 2 weeks ago.
I was here 2 weeks ago.
Well, then you obviously missed it.
I could have been brain dead.
I understand. Well, then.
Okay.
No, that was the morning I came on early. And so.
Oh, no, probably to the
I understand. You're taking midterms, isn't that what you said?
Not 2 weeks ago, last week.
Oh, all right.
Played that 2 weeks ago.
There it is. I understand the state of mind. All right, so the phone number here is, Byron, as we segue now.
You mean you can pick up the phone and give us a call?
You can pick up the phone and give us a call.
Oh, man, stand by. What's that number?
That number's 212. You may or may not want to call, you know, until we have something specifically you want to contribute.
It is okay.
It's interesting. I listen back to the show sometimes and I realize, Byron, Byron, I realize listening back to some of the shows, okay, that we give out the number, right? But we don't necessarily have a topic, so we're in some way inviting weirdness.
We have a topic.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you if you have a topic. That's the point. Yeah, but I who? You and Edwin?
We have a topic right here. Got a topic right here, Mike,
too.
I mean, the whole vibe of the show.
The whole vibe of the show is a topic. I go with that concept.
Like vibe.
Byron, the whole show is a topic.
It's a topic. Okay. That's vibing.
All right, but I go for that.
Okay, so what's the theme for the day?
Well, there's no
theme. Like the duck's going to drop out of the sky.
You know, I saw something about some British dignitary having a hissy fit. Did you see this, Ryan? So now I understand it's actually a term. You didn't make it up.
Of course I didn't make it up.
I thought you made it up.
No, man.
Kind of like a Donnybrook.
A Donnybrook. Near.
A Donny what?
Brook. A Donnybrook is a sort of a knockdown, drag out battle.
A fight.
McCoy's against the Hatfields. That's a Donnybrook.
So it's sort of a combo all around violent.
Yes, it's a WrestleMania thon.
So Andrew, no hope you stand. No, we stand. Byron, so now, the film I saw is a film called Bye Bye Love.
Bye Bye Love.
Yes, Byron. Don't ask me why I saw this film.
Wait a minute.
Look at
Excuse me. Hold
we
on.
Caught the interest of
Mike,
the mystery guest.
Mike.
What?
Why did you see this?
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's, I explained that already.
You told me not to ask.
No, I didn't say don't ask me. Yes. I told you that I saw it because I felt that it had something to do with the nature of a screenplay I'm working on now.
All right.
In terms of
dating.
And
was it?
Well, it had one sequence, which I thought was the most interesting sequence.
Out of an entire hour and 20 minutes, it had one sequence.
Let's just say it's a very pedestrian effort.
Okay. A walking film.
Everybody kind of, the best thing in it is really the performance by Randy Quaid. He's very good. He's very funny. He's good. He's a good performer. And he was, he's sort of like the, you remember him as the neighbor in Moving, the Richard Pryor movie?
Sure.
Did you see him? Well, he's sort of a slightly watered down version of that kind of guy.
Okay.
But it's just Randy Quaid,
He's a good comic actor.
So. That and Paul Reiser and Matthew Modine, who is not really a comedian, but he's sort of a straight man. The best sequence is the date sequence between Randy Quaid and the woman from Saturday Night Live. What's her name? Do you know what her name is?
The woman from Saturday Night Live.
That's in the
Live.
Film. You don't know, all right?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, there it is.
Okay.
Brian, you think you can get the mystery guest to do a belly dance?
I'm not very sure about this.
Miles Davis meets Freddy Krueger, you said?
No, I was looking. You ever read Spy Magazine and they have
that
comparison between people's faces?
No, but I'm not even going to go there.
It's like a group kind of thing where they put one face
Yeah, I got it. Brian's talking to you. I have my entertainment things. What do you have?
Okay, well, since we're in the entertainment field, I have some update on Michael Jackson.
What's the update on Michael Jackson?
Well, a lot of people...
you get this out of today's paper?
Well, I got it out a couple days ago.
This is old Michael Jackson news?
Two days old.
All right, I'm ready. Okay. It better be good.
Well, his new album, his much-awaited album.
Much-anticipated album. Eagerly awaited album
will be out June 13th, 1 minute after midnight. So line up, get your credit cards ready. We know you want the Michael Jackson's History 2 album set.
Did you say his story? It sounded like you said
his story.
All right.
That's the name of his album.
I know, but your pronunciation was bizarre.
Anyway, it's much anticipated, and I understand it's awesome. The buzz on the street is that it is genuine.
The word on the street?
Yes, the buzz on the street.
The word on the street is that it's
genuine.
Yeah. But do they say that? Do they say that on the street? Yeah, it's genuine. Yeah.
So, it's like...
The word on the street.
It's going to be hot, man. So, Michael Jackson update. Now, James Brown update.
The word on the street.
Yeah, the word on the street. I got the
very
James 70. Brown.
Yeah, the word James on the Brown. Street is the man is coming down.
Update. Well, no charge was given to James Brown after he was reported to
have... I'm expecting to scream now. Go ahead.
Beat up on his wife again.
He beat up on his wife again?
Yes, he did. Well,
James Brown's not a happy man.
No, he's not.
Mike,
took it to the bridge one too many times. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Bugs is a bigot? Let's go to the videotape.
Uh-oh.
A World War II cartoon that shows Bugs passing out bombs to Japanese people he calls Slant Eyes and Monkey Face is being pulled from the Golden Age of Looney Tunes video. I guess Bugs Bunny was a bigot, too. Yeah, thank you.
Senator Alphonse D'Amato. Yo, can I say something?
Say something, man.
There's no part of Michael Jackson that's genuine.
Part that's genuine.
The word on the street is that it's genuine.
Hold on. Marvel adds it to its card collection. The Marvel Entertainment Group, a big player in the comic book and sports trading cards arenas, is planning to add to its card collection by purchasing Skybox International.
They're buying Skybox.
Yes, they did.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So they're into
Marvel. Let me tell you what Marvel's doing.
Yes.
Marvel is really doing the cold corporate thing. They bought out a major distributor, Heroes World, and they bought them out, and now a lot of the independents, that cuts in half the sales of the independents. Because that was a major, just cuts them in half. Boom, cut in half. It's heavy. You probably know about this.
For all who don't know what Skybox is producing.
Skybox trading card production.
Trading cards.
Well, that's the deal.
Basketball cards.
That's right.
Baseball cards.
Control the market.
Sports magnums, man.
Yeah, but Skybox also makes comic book trading cards.
That's right.
So now they won't be able to make DC. Just the way your fans. Or Image.
That's
right. So Marvel is benefiting big time in the card market file. So,
the word on the street.
The word on the
street. A Marvel trading card pack runs for about $5.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. Listen, you own a significant share of the market. You can send it wherever you want. You can fix the type of cost, the type of product, the perception of product, what's hot, what's not. There it is. Marvel.
Right.
Entertainment. What?
I'd like to talk to you, one night or something about promotional stuff that I'm going to be making.
A promotional what?
Some promotional stuff
to make it. All right. Well, you know the number. Call the hotline. Byron, give out the hotline number.
Hotline.
Byron, I thought you were paired.
Shit. 812. 812.
Hold on, get
the
pen.
Go get the pen. Get the pen for the night shift hotline. Leave us a phone letter.
Okay. Here it is, the hotline. Get that pencil ready.
All right, wait. Don't give it out yet. I'll bring in this person. Somebody's been calling for a while. 212.
Pick him up. Bring him on down.
Hey, what's up,
Mr. Guest? The Mr. Guest is shaking her head.
My same gal from land is here. My love. Can I have that number now, please?
Okay, give out the
night
number.
Shift hotline number is 212. I'll repeat it one more time.
Exactly.
212.
Right uptown, call.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Rob, were you the one that was going to that underground film festival?
Me?
Yeah. Not me. Why?
Mike, I
are
got
you
some.
You the one that's going to the Underground Film Festival?
I try to stay above ground, man.
Yes, do that.
All right, what are we going to say, Byron?
I got some rare weirdness.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
All right, you have to slip in because I still want to talk about some things.
You want to go? Oh, you still want to stay in entertainment?
Oh, no. You can give me the rare weirdness. I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. Here we go. Blue skies to the top of Eminem fans' choice.
Oh, yeah.
Eminem lovers will soon have the blues. The results.
Oh, Byron, that is the lamest thing in the world.
Did they violate it, though?
That is just so commercial.
Hey, man, but Blue won. I bet that more people voted on that than the
election. Oh, my God. You better crumple that up and throw it away.
All right, okay. Here's another one.
Crumple that up and throw it away.
It's thrown away.
Blue. Eminem's are blue. Film at 11.
Doctor says a little glue makes sterilization easier. This is in Miami. Doctor believes he found a way to permanently sterilize women without surgery or scars.
I'm feeding them blue M&M.
Two squirts of a substance similar to super glue. Now, you know.
Wait a minute. Whoa! Let's squirt women with super glue.
Now,
we can do whatever we want.
Just woke up on that one.
Wait. Read that back again.
All right.
Read that back again.
A doctor believes he's found a way to permanently sterilize women without surgery or scars. Two squirts of a substance similar to super glue.
Whoa. And the goal being what?
The goal being
that's the science.
It would be faster, more effective, and less expensive than a tubal ligation.
Oh, wow. Of course, a man would think of doing something
of
like that.
Of course, he would. That's
there you
a
have
male
it.
Invention.
Okay,
we'll do whatever we want. Squirt a little glue in there, and
okay, here's one for you. Who's
wow,
doubting Thomas's error-prone wow. Florida hospital nearly sterilizes a woman. This is in Tampa, Florida. A hospital where errors killed one patient and left another with wrong leg amputation.
What's wrong leg amputation? No, Byron, no. That is not funny.
Has admitted
my goodness.
Another mistake.
Whoa, hold on. Back it up. Back it up, please.
I'm backed up.
Okay. Start at the top again.
A hospital where errors killed one patient and left another with the wrong leg amputated.
Wasn't they with the hospital?
Has admitted another mistake, nearly sterilizing a woman without her consent.
Doofus Medical,
yes. Dr. Vinny Vumbach, he's the head surgeon.
So this hospital they don't give any details on the wrong leg amputation, do they?
No, they don't. They really...
I guess that speaks for itself. I just want to know, does it put a woman's leg on or is it a left leg?
Well, here it says, on March 3rd, a patient died when a hospital worker mistakenly shut off his ventilator. And
What's that?
You know, it gives you air. Processed air. 11 days earlier, the wrong leg was amputated on a diabetic patient suffering from gangrene. Now, I mean, if you could recognize the gangrene, what kind of doctors were you? Hey, you had the Pep Boys in the operating room. Manny Moe and Mac.
Scary.
Very scary. Okay, now you remember this
one. Let's go back to herbal medicine.
Now, this one is like in three parts. I was not even sure that I was reading this. So let me get my dates on this one set. 3/5, 3/7, and 3/6. Okay. You have to understand, this was the story in three different newspapers, same story. Body found in lion's pen, Washington, March 4th. The partly devoured body of a woman was found this morning in the outdoor lion enclosure at the National Zoo here.
Wait, what city?
Washington, D.C.
D.C. What's the date of
March 4th.
Okay.
A zoo official said two lions were in the enclosure at the time. A police spokesman, Sergeant Joe Gentile, said the cause of the woman's death had not been established. She was not immediately identified. Okay, next story.
Partially
devoured woman. Lion's den death probed in D.C. March 6th. The medical examiner was still trying to determine yesterday what killed an unidentified woman whose partially devoured body was found lion's...
Wait a minute. Okay. Is this stupidity or science fiction suggestive, you know?
We don't know what killed her. Something ate her.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
We know it was in the lion's den. But we're not sure it was a lion.
Like a duck. Quacks like a duck, but we're not sure if it's a duck.
Well, no, I want to find out.
Now, police said they were working on figuring out how the woman got over the 9-foot wall and 26-foot moat that separates zoo
visitors. Maybe she was carried by the creature from outer space.
From a pair of African lions.
The one that partially devoured her.
Well, the Washington Post reported yesterday that the victim was carrying identification showing she was from Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's a TV movie right there, Byron. There's something going on.
Authorities have not been able to say whether her death was an accident or a suicide.
Whoa! So she caused up and jumped into the... And then what did she do to the lion? The lions, they'll just attack you. You jump in their cage, they eat you.
Is that the man eating lion or woman eating lion? Here's the last of the story. ID in Lion Mauling, Washington, March 7th. A woman found dead in the lion's pen at the National Zoo over the weekend was identified yesterday as an Arkansas resident with a history of mental health problems. The woman, whose mauled body was discovered early Saturday morning by a zookeeper, was Margaret Davis King, 36, of Little Rock, said a Metropolitan Police detective. Police had not determined how she got into the pen. The cause of death had not been determined. So there you have it.
That's heavy, Byron.
Outrageous.
A woman jumps into the lion's den.
That's right.
Well, that's sort of like an emotional metaphor.
Now, I can't really make this stuff up. This was in the New York Newsday the other day. It's on a roll in Panama Canal, which wraps up our rare weirdness for the week.
Wraps up the rare weirdness for the week now.
The Dobertin Surface Orbiter has become the first car to travel the Panama Canal under its own power. Karen and Rick Dobertin, who are journeying around the world in their homemade amphibious vehicle, completed passage through the canal in 3 days, Karen Dobertin told the Syracuse Herald-Journal. Now, canal officials said the orbiter, which is registered in New York as a car, was the first car to pass through the canal under its own power. Rick Dobertin, an award-winner car builder, built the 32-foot, 5-ton stainless steel vehicle out of a converted milk tanker in his backyard garage. The Dobertins left Syracuse in December 1993 in an attempt to become the first to circumnavigate the globe in one continuous trip in the same vehicle. They now plan to head north on the Pan American Highway and reach Alaska by June. And then continue their journey across Asia and Europe.
We'll take it home. The way you come is the way you go.
Some people were calling and I didn't pick up. 212-279-3400.
Yo, man, yo, man.
So how many incidents at the same hospital?
Oh, at least two or three.
Three.
That's enough.
That's enough.
They sterilized a woman last week without, and it was the wrong woman.
Wrong woman, yes.
Damn.
Single squirt of a substance.
Hello.
Sterilize a woman.
Stop. Hello, you're in the air.
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Yo, Jeff.
Jeff from Elizabeth. Jeff calls in on the secret line. Say that Jeff, somebody else is calling. Hello, you're on the air.
That's why we can't hear him.
Hello.
Hello. You may talk to us.
No, it's a freak. Do you remember? So who do you think we should bring on first?
I don't know, but I have something to play at this very moment.
Okay, give it to me.
You can't look to see what it is. You just got to put it in.
I'll just put it in.
Promise. Put it in. This is for you. Well, it could be for you, Eugene.
Could be.
Yeah. Cut One sounds good.
Who is it?
It's, I think, an incredible album.
No.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to meet him tomorrow.
Oh, you've got it.
I'm going to hang with...
It's for me, Chris. Thanks. Hello, world. Hear a song that we sing.
Come on, get happy.
My question, why do you have this on CD? Who bought this?
On CD.
Incredible, man.
On CD.
Yes.
On CD.
I'm going to hang with David Cassidy and ask him what it was like.
Spread a little love and we'll keep moving on.
Great, come on, just for a minute, that doesn't just bring back that memory of being 5 years old watching TV?
No, I mean, five.
Five, I wasn't even born when this was out. What is the season?
Come on, I want to buy the bus. I want to go on tour with that bus. Could you imagine throwing rocks at you?
That stupid bus with the bell-bottom pants and everything.
Do you want to rehearse in the garage so all the neighbors, you know, freak out? Hey, that stupid Partridge Family jamming again.
My dog's better than your dog.
Is that your cut?
This is mine. I thought this was a spirit. Remember when you were 5 years old?
You go back to one of...
My dog's bigger than...
Right in the middle of a good dream.
Oh,
God.
You remember these hits?
Hits. Hits like hits.
Hits.
Hey, here's another hit for you.
This
is one of my favorites.
This is Pacifica.
I can't even read this, man.
I really remember these hits.
Go to cut number three. Let's get that. Which one was this one?
The hits.
So
he's kidding
four,
you.
The hits. They had hits.
The hits.
Excuse me?
But the hits. Look at Mike from Jersey. He's got to get him to make a cat sound.
Oh, come on, David Cassidy.
This was a
and let me ask you, what with the harpsichord? It sounds so Adam's Family. Dylan.
Tish.
Oh my god. This is the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'd have another one, but you can't look at this one either, man. Let's see. This is something.
Look, this sounds like that, you know, music on the Poseidon Adventure.
Okay, you got a code.
Oh, this is the hit.
This is a hit.
Yes.
So, Chris, why don't you have him sign this when you're hanging out with him tomorrow, you know?
Hey, man, they hang out with David and Sean Cassidy.
The Blood Brothers.
To this stupid song. I don't know how many times I listened to this stupid song.
I hated this song. I hated it. Didn't you?
Okay, put on cut. No, I love this. That stuff brings back memories.
Can
you know?
I snap this?
Oh, no. It's just like, oh, no, don't touch it. Here, put on cut number two.
You tell the world you know what makes it all.
This is WBAI.
This is
WBAI.
99.5.
Non-advertising station.
Night shift.
There is no other one. There's only something less.
This is great.
This is the build, the crescendo. Come on, ready?
Oh, come on, you got to play a cigarette commercial.
Oh, I will.
You got to.
have to relive those memories of cigarette commercials on. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. They release cigarettes. Advertise.
Kill yourself. Try a Doral. But be cool while you're doing it.
Sounds like something for the Mormons.
Yes, it does.
Michael.
What?
Like, my degree is English literature, if you know that.
Talk English.
Michael, my
degree is
in English literature, in case you know that.
Yeah, but not in pronunciation, okay? All right, let's see.
Cut to.
Okay,
there you go.
Here we go. Lancelot Lincoln, the Evolution Revolution. What is this? Sounds like a toy guitar.
That's, I tell you who that is.
All right, I'll tell you who it is. All right, cut 7. Go to cut 7 on this. My favorite cut.
Right.
This is white music.
Oh, yeah. Let's test market it with the white people.
You remember this?
Oh, no. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
This is BTO, man.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I gotta admit.
Bachman Turner. Harry Harrison.
I went to go see them live. People were throwing celery heads at them. They were throwing all celery in the band.
Celery doesn't come to a head.
No, they have, you know, with all the green.
You talking about broccoli?
No, they were throwing everything. Broccoli, tomatoes, and
tomatoes. Celery heads. I'd like to see
celery heads. Celery heads.
Give me a head of celery, will you?
This is the best part right here.
Yeah, right.
All the music drops out.
The baby!
Goodness, Bachman Turner Overdrive. Now, you remember that, Michael?
Yes, unfortunately, I remember this.
This is a big hit. A big hit.
This is one of those hits.
Big hits.
Edging past right. The part.
Go to one of their big hits. Cut right. 5.
Oh, is this the best of you got over there, Chris? The best of BTO.
This guy just see you coming.
He's like, oh, I didn't see that.
Hey, Mr. 70s, I got a few CDs for you. Chris, oh yeah, what you got? Bachman Turner Overdrive. Got any Captain Into the Hill?
I got that too.
You got Captain Into the Hill. Some Three Dog Night.
I got the Carpenters. I got the CD player.
Let me tell you, it's so bad. The CD player refuses to play this cut. It's sitting there. It's on five. It says play. It won't play.
Look what you've done, Chris. Look what you've done.
It says I will not play this
CD
cut.
CD player will not play
it,
cut
it
number
refuse,
5.
Refuse it.
That is the funniest thing.
Used to good friends. Tonight is kind of special.
Just play this hit. One of our hits.
Who's that? Who's singing that? It sounds like Lou Rawls. It's Lou Rawls, right?
Exactly.
All right.
I'm making money.
And I wish they had that. You remember the one with James Coburn?
Schlitz Light.
I want to play Cut 5.
That was my favorite.
I want to play Cut 5.
Who's here? Hello?
Mike.
Yeah.
Stormy Green is people!
So, he must have watched it. He did his husband. Play Cut 5. It won't play Cut 5.
It's not playing Cut 5. I don't know what to tell you.
See if it'll play Cut 4.
Man, what is Cut 4?
There it goes. It's playing Cut 4. So now go to 5 now. Let's see if it plays Cut 5.
There you go. You don't remember that.
This is, I know.
You were in the 70s,
yeah,
all right?
I'm like, I know you danced to this. You actually got this and, like, went to that groove party.
212-279-3400. Stop, Chris. If you can.
Come on, man. This was great stuff, man.
Hello, you're on the air.
I put this scene in a movie.
Hello?
Mike.
This should be on a beer commercial.
Who's this?
This song will be.
Actually, it was.
Don't be quiet.
Oh, it's Daoud.
Daoud, man, you're a freak, man. What line is he on? You're a freak, Daoud. Come on, man. Just admit it. Say it.
Well, what do you want? What are you waving at?
No, just turn it off. Man. They have 129. Actually, you know what? Play cut 12. Play the last cut on here for Daoud.
What's the name of the song?
Here it is. You couldn't even remember the name. You wanted to let it keep playing.
I'm too used to hearing Muzak versions. I don't remember the originals. You know,
Mike is dancing on the aisles at this song.
This tune's for Daoud. All
right.
Daoud, how you doing, man?
All right.
Oh, you sound bummed out, Daoud.
Yeah, man.
You sound bummed out, man.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, come on, stop now.
Don't worry, I won't be.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Hey,
can I?
Wait. Daoud, thanks for breakfast the other morning. I just want to say.
Daoud paid for breakfast?
BTO's greatest.
Really?
You're quite welcome.
It was over at McDonald's, but still, it was breakfast, right?
If you were there, Chris, you would have got some too, but hey, you wasn't.
Don't get so close to you, dude.
It's always my pleasure. It's a little bit of pleasure I get from this show.
Cool.
To put in my food, my two cents.
And that has been a special rebroadcast of some classic Night Shift from 19 and over 20 years ago. You can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT, and you can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. You can email us at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. This has been Night Shift, and we'll be back normal time next week from midnight till 3 a.m. Until then, stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned.
The Pacifica Foundation is in the process of revising its bylaws, the rules under which the organization must operate. To read the actual proposed changes, visit pacifica.org. The National Board will vote on July 17, 2014, and the five local station delegates will vote within 60 days of that date. To be approved, each proposal must receive a majority vote of the Pacifica National Board and three of the five station delegates, a.k.a. station board members. For more information, visit pacifica.org.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to